Hello and welcome to Pandora's Box. Today is October 1st, 2015. My name is Kalia and we are going to talk about the good karma path today. If you would like more information about my work, please visit my websites, narcissismfree.com and pathbacktoself.com. In my line of work, I'm constantly asked about karma. Do we really reap what we sow? Why is it that the good, kind-hearted, loving people of the world must suffer at the hands of evil? Will those who inflict cruelty upon others have to suffer the consequences of their actions? Some of my clients are religious and believe on some level in the biblical statement, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord," which means that we must trust in God to balance the scales and tend to the evildoers of the world. Those of us psychologically and spiritually oriented understand, on a deeper level, that people inflict wounds upon others because they themselves have been deeply wounded, and they do unto others what has already been done unto them. Some people are so deeply wounded and misguided in life, they know not what they do. They simply act and react from a deeply wounded place. We can understand this on a psychological level, but it doesn't make the pain go away. The pain of abuse is real. Honestly, deeply compassionate people want to help. We want to love. We want to give people the benefit of the doubt. We want to give those who we care about another chance. We feel their buried pain and the deep woundedness of their psyche. Some of us even feel, on some level, that we came here to planet Earth to assist humanity to transcend their unconscious ways. We understand that we need to have boundaries, but what exactly are they, and how do we have boundaries without closing our hearts to love? The journey of the open-hearted person is to know how to remain open-hearted, even in the face of trauma, abuse, and immense pain. We also must learn to let go and let life deal with the consequences of the deeply unconscious souls who walk through life taking advantage of the kindness and caring of the good-hearted people of the world. If we allow such people to take from us our love, then we have given our power away. We've given away the best part of us, and we have delivered to the dark heart a victory. Some of the great spiritual masters tell us that all bad behavior is a cry for love. When someone rapes, murders, lies, cheats, and robs us blind of our possessions, our vitality, and our energy, it can be really difficult to see this as a cry for love. Those of us who have studied Cluster B personality disorders also understand that narcissists and sociopaths see love as weakness. They exploit it. They set out to annihilate it in others, and often they succeed. But the deeper truth is that these personality disordered people were most often denied love and were deeply hurt at an early age, and they've convinced themselves their desire for love is what caused their pain. So they cut off from it and live in an egoic reality that is all about feeding the selfish wants, needs, and desires of the individual without concern for those whom they take from. So how does karma play into all of this? Well, it's important to know that deep down, every man, woman, and child on the planet still wants love. This is our most basic need. And the more one exploits the loving hearts of others, the more he or she cuts himself or herself off from the source, from the well of love he or she so desperately hungers to drink from. When we choose to cut off contact with our abuser, we withdraw our love from that person, at least on a physical level. It may seem they don't care or notice that our love is no longer feeding them. They may quickly move on to another source of love. But deep down, they always live in fear of losing love because there's a core sense of unworthiness, self-loathing, even disgust in oneself. Sure, it might be hidden behind an egoic, shiny self-image, but one is not sustained by his or her self-image. Our self-image is illusionary. Things may look all pretty on the outside, but inside lives a tormented soul, one who's completely disconnected from the divine source of love within, and therefore cannot allow love in too deeply. Many of you can probably relate to that self-protective mechanism that keeps love at a comfortable distance. We all have it to some degree until we really face our deepest fears and heal our own fragmented self. The true source of love really is within us, and if we cut off from that divine source, we suffer deeply from the illusion of separation from God and from each other. The more we cut off from love, the more we suffer. Good karma comes with the state of living in love, because when you are truly in the vibration of love, you feel connected to the source of all life, and you feel connected to others. When you can truly let love in, you will surround yourself with people, and that love will lift you up, because you will surround yourself with loving people. When you live in the vibration of love, it creates a magnetic energy that draws to you a vibrational match, or otherwise loving people, experiences, and the abundance of the good things in life. Some people believe they are living in love, but are still looking outside themselves for a source of love and validation. When we do this, we often will attract unloving people into our field to give us the opportunity to learn to love ourselves more deeply by refusing to tolerate abuse, by learning boundaries, and also learning forgiveness for ourselves and for others. I was one such person. I always had a loving heart, but also had a lot of self-loathing hidden in my unconscious. I attracted partnerships that mirrored to me my own self-loathing, and it was easy for me to believe I deserved to be treated badly. There was a core belief, if I'm treated badly, I must be bad. This is a belief that haunts many good-hearted people who try their best to be kind, loving, and caring, but find their goodness is rejected and can even be the target for abuse. Core shame, which carries the belief, I am bad, or there's something wrong with me, comes into play when we constantly feel rejected, abandoned, betrayed, and mistreated. The assumption is, these things are happening to me because I am bad, or because there's something wrong with me. If someone stops talking to you or doesn't respond to your efforts to speak or reach out, the first question most of us ask is, what did I do wrong? We sincerely want to know what we did to cause the lack of response from the other. When you're in relationship with someone who is punishing by nature, which is typical of cluster B personality disorders like narcissism and borderline, the silence and stonewalling behavior towards you feels like a punishment. We learn early in life that punishment is dished out to fit the crime. If you do something wrong or bad, you are punished. You may even reflect on everything that has transpired and try to figure out what you might have done to cause the other person's reaction or lack of response. You may attempt to talk to that person and ask them, what did you do wrong? But the silent treatment really has nothing to do with what you did wrong. Any effort on your part to heal the fracture will likely be met with resistance because it really isn't about you. It's about some deep insecurity within the other that he or she is unable to reach or understand, and you're simply the trigger. What you did wrong was to be an unconscious trigger for some unhealed wound within the other. and we can never prevent this. We are all triggered by others. It's our job as individuals to identify the triggers and heal the wounds that are being triggered in ourselves. Sometimes people just need to stay away from the triggers in their lives because what is being triggered is too painful. Sometimes we have to push people away in our lives because they're triggering too much painful stuff in us. We may have to take a step back and process what is coming up to the surface in our emotional body to be healed. We may realize that certain people can't be in our lives due to lack of respect, caring, or personality disorder issues. Sometimes it's a healthy choice to stay away from the triggers. In the case of personality disorders like narcissism and borderline, we will be pushed away if we get too close to the defenses that threaten to crack open the lie that one lives behind. Sometimes the very act of loving someone is too painful for that person. It may trigger his or her fear of loss, abandonment, or exposure. What if he or she finds out who I really am? Since karma is the universal law of cause and effect, let's look at some examples of how karma plays out in one's life. Where there's a fear of being exposed, one may put a lot of energy into hiding, lying, and pushing people away to maintain the lie. This cause has the effect of never having authentic or close relationships. Where there is a fear of abandonment, one might abandon others before he or she can be abandoned and never truly feel stable in one's relationship, which is the effect of that cause. Where one may have the need to feel superior, the cause here may he may treat those around him as inferior, resulting in people not liking him and his being rejected and alone. A man who is a player, for example, may play the field as a result of his fear of intimacy, which results as a lack of integrity with women, which may result in women not having trust in him and directing a lot of hatred and anger towards him for his actions of lying, cheating, and betraying them. Deep down, he may not want to do these things. He may truly desire to have a deep, committed, loving relationship, but his fear of intimacy is what drives him, and he takes actions that are against his own self-integrity, which results in his never really having what he wants or needs in life. And that is the karmic repercussion of that behavior. A narcissist, for example, lives a very big lie. The lie comes from an overly inflated sense of self-importance that results in minimizing and discounting those around him in order to maintain his self-image as better than. And even though deep down, underneath all the lies and deception, he wants to love and be loved like everyone else does, he has this defense of self-importance that is constantly pushing love away. And of course, his own inability to see how his actions are creating the result, he blames others for the result. We often make the mistake of believing that because one is unaware of his own behavior and how his actions create the effect, that he doesn't suffer the consequences of his behavior. And this is far from the truth. We all suffer the consequences of our hurtful behavior. The reason a narcissist blames everyone around him all the time is because he's always seeking someone else to blame for his own suffering. If he can blame you and pin it on you, then he simply directs anger at you for causing the issue he is denying within himself. And it's easier for him to deal with his anger towards you, blaming you, than it is to face the real issue. Of course, not everyone feels as deeply as those who suffer the greatest pain in life. Many people walk through life numb, like a robot, never really feeling life. But this in itself is a karmic result of closing one's heart and shutting oneself off from love. feeling nothing is much like being the walking dead. One is dead. There's no real life happening inside. It's a barren, empty desert. Of course, someone who is dead inside looks to those who are alive in effort to feel alive. And for a moment, it may work. But one can never sustain the feeling of being alive unless it comes from within. We can only feed on the life force of others for so long before the other is drained of vitality. If you are someone who has had your life force drained by someone who is emotionally dead, then the effect of getting involved with someone who is dead inside is to feel the pain of that death. We ourselves may end up feeling dead inside or feel overwhelming emotional pain. Perhaps we even feel the repressed emotional pain of the person we got involved with. Sensitive people do feel the repressed emotional pain of those they get close to. This is the danger of a sensitive person getting involved with an emotionally repressed person. The sensitive person unconsciously begins to express the pain of the emotionally repressed person, and the emotionally repressed person, who has some really big defenses to keep that pain away, will push the sensitive person away too. This is why when we get involved with narcissistic personalities, when we react to a hurtful behavior of the narcissist, the focus is not on his or her behavior, but on our reaction to the behavior. This is part of that defense that protects the narcissist from seeing the truth, that his or her behavior is hurtful to others. We may ask ourselves, when will he or she ever see how hurtful that he or she is being? We somehow believe that if the individual who is being hurtful can see the error of his or her ways, that karma will be fulfilled. But karma doesn't work like this. We might also notice a double standard with people who can't see the error of their ways. Someone who cheats on you, and if you express your pain and hurt about it, and that person focuses on how unreasonable you are being, telling that you, if you had just had more sex with him or her, that this wouldn't have happened. In a sense, you're being blamed for that person's behavior. But say you were the one who had the affair, and that person found out, you would still be the one to blame. If you told him or her that you were lonely and craving intimacy, that person couldn't hear that he or she was unable to offer you what you needed. Instead, he or she would proceed to tell you what a horrible person you are. So where's the karma in that? For most people, the belief is that if that person could see the truth, be accountable, and apologize for it, all would be well. But it's very unlikely for those who are blind to the truth. Those who are blind to the truth will always be living a lie. And living a lie is the most painful thing any of us can do, and that is the karmic repercussion. It's one of them. All the results of living a lie are the true karmic repercussions. And the sad truth is most of humanity does live a lie. Living a lie is not reserved for the narcissistic person alone. The narcissistic person is simply an inflated version of someone who denies the truth. Since we live in a narcissistic society, most people in the society are living a lie and denying the truth to some degree. I consider my role as a healer to wake up from the lie myself and then help others to awaken. The more I'm entrenched in my own self-denial or lie, the less I can assist others in waking to the truth. The more I awaken to the truth, the more I can help others to awaken. Living true to oneself and living in integrity with oneself is the ultimate liberation. And life really has a way to push us towards that liberation by putting us in situations where we must ultimately confront our own lies, our own self-denial. What better way to confront our own self-denial than to be in relationship with a narcissist who is living the most profound lie? Seeing ourselves in the mirror of the narcissist ultimately has us facing our own lies. It's extremely painful when the illusion begins to break down and we begin to see the truth. And when we do, many ask, "Am I the narcissist?" The deeper truth is, when raised in a narcissistic society, you develop narcissistic defenses. And when those defenses are threatened, you face your own narcissism. And this is painful. It doesn't mean you're a narcissist and the person or people you've been involved with are not. What it really means is that you are awakening to the deeper truth and that others are not. As we truly begin to awaken to our true selves, we begin to align with the path of good karma. When you're true to yourselves and live in integrity with your highest guidance and with the God of your understanding, you will reap what you sow, just as you have reaped what you have sown living a lie. If you've lived a life of pain, you've learned how painful it is to live a lie. When you begin aligning with the truth, it will be painful at first, because you're waking up from a very long sleep and the anesthesia of that sleep is wearing off. You're beginning to feel the pain you have long been numbed to. And if you're courageous and willing to feel the pain of rebirth, you will soon be living a life that is deep and true. You'll be living the authentic life, and there is no higher path to walk. However, living the authentic life does not mean we do not feel pain. We feel pain, but we also feel joy. We also feel elation. We feel everything. We feel alive. When we live our life from a place of aliveness, we attract into our energy field more aliveness. But we also must understand that those who are emotionally dead and living in darkness are very much attracted to aliveness. This is what is meant by darkness being attracted to light, or moths to the flame. The light is life, and the darkness is death. If you're emotionally dead, you are aligned with death. If you're emotionally alive, you're aligned with life. And this is the law of cause and effect. The karmic reward for waking up and coming to life is life. The karmic repercussions of shutting down from the life force, numbing oneself through alcohol, food, work, sex, drugs, and other addictions, is death. Not necessarily a physical death, but an emotional one. Being emotionally dead is to live life without feeling it. Most of us, in our desire for revenge, desire to see the abuser suffer as we have suffered. But what you're really asking is that the emotionally dead person feel alive, and this is way too much to ask. This is not how life works. The karmic repercussions for death is more death. An emotionally dead person does not suffer in the same way an emotionally awakening person suffers. Where the emotionally awakening person feels the pain of that death, the emotionally dead person feels nothing. He's dead inside. What we don't comprehend is that to be emotionally dead is hell. It's like being given the most tasty food and having no taste buds, or having the most beautiful lover and not be able to feel her love, or having the most fragrant flower and not be able to smell its scent, or to walk outside on a beautiful day and not be able to perceive the beauty. The quest of the emotionally dead person is to fuel oneself with addiction, an attempt to feel alive, or to completely numb the emptiness of non-feeling. To a narcissist, his source of supply is his attempt to feel alive. His supply is his addiction, You can be the one who loves him with everything you have, and still he cannot let it in because his defenses are too great. You can be that beautiful lover, and yet he cannot feel your love. What he is addicted to is the promise of love, the belief that the right person will bring him back to life. But what he doesn't understand is that he himself is the right person. He has to be the one to bring himself back to life. But sadly, the deeper the narcissism, the more difficult it is to break through the defenses. If you are someone who believes you have the power to bring a dead person back to life, you will die trying. Perhaps your light, your life, will inspire others to reach for the light within themselves. But one who is so cut off from the source within will always pull you into death with him, and you will be left in that death until you reach for the light yourself. And this is the extreme danger of dancing too closely with a narcissist. A narcissist cannot love because he's cut off from love. He's disconnected from it. He seeks to be fulfilled from outside of himself and never seeks within. It is said in Scripture, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all else will be given." So what does this mean? It means that the true source of life is within us. And when we can connect with this source of life, we will have everything we need. We will no longer need to be scrambling for that unobtained goal and seeking to be fulfilled through some person, possession, or promise outside of ourselves. The true promise is within us. And when we can align with the God within, we are walking the path of good karma, because we are aligned with the true cause of love in our life, and the effect will be greater love. When we're filled with love from within, there's no greater sensation. Everything else pales in comparison. We no longer want for or need for something out there to fulfill us. This is why we work so hard to walk the path of truth. The path of truth is the path of love. For the divine, as it lives, moves, and has its being through us. To live and let live means to focus on your own path of love and allow others their own experiences, whether those experiences are life or death. Your greater purpose on this planet is to walk in your truth and be the light that you have come here to be. Be the love that shines from within you. Face your own inner demons, the shadow side of yourself where your fears and insecurities are running the show. Bring love to the demons within, and they will be transformed into light. To live and let live, you walk the path of good karma by being true to yourself and focusing on your own inner journey, allowing those who have done you wrong to reap what they have sown. Knowing where one sows death, there is only death to reap. And where one sows life, life begins to take on a new meaning, a new appearance, a new experience. Let there be life. Let there be light. Thank you for listening. And have a great day.